Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Rachel. That was beautiful. Loved it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, privileged to be here. And Lord, our heart's desire is for you. So our one desire is just to hear your voice, to encounter you. So Lord, may the word of God speak to each one today in Jesus' name. Amen. We live in a society of independence. It's a society that's, you know, says, I want to do my own thing, live my own way. We want personal, individual freedom. But we also live in a society where we have institutions and organizations. And often these organizations and institutions, they're a little suspect, to say the least, right, as we look at our world and our country. And I think some of that same suspicion is against the church. The church is also an institution. And I think it's kind of the climate that we are living in. My wife last night was looking up some statistics about people that are actually people of faith but don't belong to the church. And it's interesting, they don't know for sure, it's hard to determine, but it's somewhere around 10 million people in America are actually people that believe in Christ, believe in the Bible, but they want nothing to do with the church, and so they'll stay home, they'll stay on their couch, and it's kind of their thing, their religion, their experience with Christ. And we see a lot of that happening, and by the way, there's more and more of that going on. And so, you know, we need to ask the question, and a lot of people, why do I need the church anyway? You know, why do I need to come and go to a body and support? They want my money and all this. Why do I want to go, you know, and pay my tithe there? And, you know, I'm just going to do my own thing. I'm going to pay my tithe where I want to pay it. And I might even spend some of that money on myself. And God loves me, and, you know, it's okay. And we see people that say, you know, they'll look at the condition of the church today and they'll say, well, you know, the leaders are corrupt and they make mistakes. And look at all the hypocrites in the church. How many's heard that one before? Go ahead and raise your hand. The hypocrites, you know, and other people say, you know, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to take my kids to Sabbath school, but that's all. That's all it's going to, you know, we got to ask the question, why is the church? And I'm going to try to answer that question today. And I believe the church is so necessary. At a seminar we went to, the local church is the answer for the world. Of course, Christ working through the church. But see, surrounded by love, we learn to love. Amen? See, in the church, when we're surrounded by love, we learn to love. And surrounded by loving Christians, we learn to love Christ. Isn't that what the church is all about? So around each other, we learn to love each other. And as we're around each other, we're actually learning to love Christ. And of course, loving the world. Love is a learned behavior. Did you know that? It's a learned behavior. No, I think of a baby. There is no creature on the earth more selfish than a baby. Amen? A newborn baby. Everything is about them. They want their needs. They want it now. And so that's why in the middle of the night, you know, the baby, you know, hey, maybe has an empty stomach or has a little plumbing problem or whatever's going on. And they don't care that mom and dad had a hard day. That baby doesn't say, well, I'm going to wait till the alarm goes off, and then I'm going to call for mom and dad. No, they don't care about the comfort of mom and dad. That baby's going to get taken care of. The needs are taken care of right now. I want it now. And then just a little later, as you come to church, and I see some of our young families, they bring the kids to the babies to church. It's a challenge, isn't it? Not easy to do, but you bring them to and right around noon, you know, they're getting a little hungry. And you know what happens? They don't care if the preacher, now maybe the preacher's boring or whatever's going off. The poor preacher's trying hard, you know. And, you know, they're hungry, and they don't care about the preacher. And by the way, they don't care if there's 10 people here or 100 people here. They don't care. They are going to tell you that they are hungry. See, we are born with a totally sinful, self-centered nature. We are born in sin. But the praise God, we have a potential to learn to love. And a baby has that potential. And so how does a baby, how are they going to learn to love? Well, guess what? You teach a baby how to love in an institution, in an organization. It is called the home or the family. Amen? And they grow up and they learn. And so mom and dad are hugging on them and cuddling them and kissing on them. And there's brother and sisters and aunts and uncles and there's cousins. And you know there's grandpa and grandma hugging and kissing on them. And by the love that they're given, they are learning to love. And ultimately, as they experience more of that love and then the church body, they will learn to love Christ. And that's really what Christianity is all about. That's what the church is all about. We learn to love. We come together, we learn to love, and then we learn to love Jesus as we grow. See, it's you know, in the church, by the way, in the church, you should always have babies, baby Christians, right? They're making mistakes, they're immature, they're stumbling, they're falling, they're not there yet, they haven't arrived yet. You know, and by the way, many people seem like they never get beyond adolescence, you know, today. But we are growing, and the church should be there for them, surround them, just like moms and dads do that for their babies. We do the same thing. See, surrounded by love, we learn to love. And as we're surrounded by loving Christians, we learn to love Christ. I want you to take your Bible and turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 47. Acts chapter 2, you go there, Pastor Scott preached on this, I kind of alluded to it, but chapter 2 is an amazing chapter. Peter is preaching, 3,000 souls have joined the church. Imagine the problems they're having in that early church. And the Bible goes on to describe what kind of group this little church is, this kind of infant church. I mean, they are fellowshipping together, they're connecting. They're eating together. They're worshiping together. They're spending time in the Word together. It's just an awesome time, and it says they're doing it daily, and it says they're having all things in common. But here in Acts 2, verse 47, it says, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. Now, I want you to notice, it says the Lord added to the church how often? Daily. Who was the one that was adding to the church? The Lord was adding to the church. So notice the church is the Lord's idea. And so the saved are being added to the church. And so you see it's his idea. And so we accept Christ and become a Christian. You know, I see people all the time that they accept Jesus, they become a Christian. But they say, I don't need the church. I see it all the time. It's become more and more popular. Don't need the church. And we see that happen. But I'll tell you something. It's a rare person that makes it in Christianity without a body, without people around them to support them and encourage them. See, the church and God's family is God's plan. It's not man's plan. It's God's plan. The church is his plan. You know, I believe the church today is kind of like the ark in Noah's day. Have you ever heard that before? I've seen some books, I've read some books on that, but they compare the church with the ark back in Noah's day. Now, the ark was a very imperfect boat. Why? Because it was built by men. And the man, one of those men was a preacher. His name was Noah, right? But when the crisis came, it did the job to save God's people because it was made according to God's plan. The church is a very imperfect institution, amen? Very imperfect. But it's God's plan. God's the one's established. It is his plan. So in the church, we're surrounded by love. We learn to love. And in the church, we learn to love Christ and love the world. And so it's God's plan for teaching us how to love. A preacher was telling us a story about his wife, and his wife has a very sensitive nose. And sensitive, so sensitive, whenever she'd walk into a room, she could smell anything out of order, something wrong, she could smell it, man. She would just had a sensitive nose. And this preacher was talking about Noah, and he said, I think Mrs. Noah probably had a very sensitive nose. Can you imagine how hard that would have been in that boat? For that 40 days and 40 nights, it must have been terrible because all the stench and all the waste and all the mess in that boat, it must have been awful for Mrs. Noah. But I'll bet Mrs. Noah was never tempted to jump out of the boat, even with the stench. What do you think? See, there was a storm outside going on. You know, there was a storm out there, and so Mrs. Noah stayed in the boat, even with all the stench and all this stuff going on. And I got to apologize right now, because this morning there might be a foul odor in this church. And I apologize for any imperfections in each of us here in the church today. But let me tell you, brothers and sisters, the stench in the church is nothing. It's nothing compared to the ugliness, the darkness, the evil outside the church. See, there is a storm brewing out there. It is getting darker. The morality of our country is going, I mean, the toilet. It's unbelievable what we could talk about today. See, I'd rather be in here with a little stench in here than out there when it's really ugly and dark. And there's a storm. And see, the ark is the ark of safety. It's the church. That's how God established it. People coming together, learning to love each other, and learning to love Christ. See, I think we have a potential. If you've been raised an Adventist, if you're a third or fourth or maybe even fifth generation Adventist, there could be a curse in that. Because if you're raised in the system, you go through our schools and everything, and then you're in the church and everything, you think, you know, you look at the church and you see all the little stench in the church. And you think this is the only stench there is, but I got to tell you something. There's a lot more out there in the world. Amen. Oh, by the way, you know, and I see people, they'll get hurt in the church, you know. I'm not going to go to that church. They hurt me. Or maybe they were raised, you know, they went to our schools, and way back when they're in academy or some teacher or student or somebody hurt them, and they're never going back to that place again. By the way, I believe evangelism is the lifeblood of the church. And we need to continually bring in new people with all their messes and all their problems and all their stench. Because it tells us how much better it is in here than out there. So what about the church? You know, why the church? You know, the Bible says that Jesus loved the church so much that he calls his church a bride. A bride. A beautiful bride. You know, in Eden, heard this from the preacher, in the Garden of Eden, Adam slept. His side was open, and Eve emerged. At Calvary, the second Adam slept. His side was open, and the church emerged. As Eve stood before Adam, he said, oh, I love her. And as the church stands before Christ, oh, how we love him. And by the way, be careful when you criticize the people and the church. And remember, when you criticize the church, you're criticizing people, not a building, not an institution. Don't criticize that, because you're really criticizing people in the church. Amen? That's what you're doing. And by the way, so, you know, when you're criticizing the church, there's somebody that doesn't like it a whole lot. What's his name? It's Jesus, because the church is his bride. See, any man is going to get upset if you start criticizing his bride. Amen. I'm thankful for the church. How about you? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Take your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. And verse 25. See, if we're Christians, We want to do what Christ did. Ephesians 5:25, it says, husband, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. How much did Jesus love his church? He loved the church so much that he gave up his life for his bride and his church. Now I'm going to say this to young people. I see a few of you here today. Update the church. Contemporize the church if you need to. Change it if you need to. But first, love the church. Learn to love the church like Jesus loves the church. Made up of everybody from old to young and in between. He loved the church. And I got to say this, may God bless those of you in this church that are giving of yourselves in this church family. You're giving of yourselves to bring Christ in the center that we might love Christ in this place. We give up ourselves for his church. That's what the Bible says to be Christ-like. So why do we have the church? Why do we have the church? Let me tell you, first of all, why what the church is not. A church is not a group of perfect people. Amen? And you've heard this. It's not a museum for the saints, but it's a hospital for sinners. A church is a group of imperfect people. I believe there's one standard for people of membership in a church. I believe there's a higher standard for leadership. I believe that, but I believe there should be absolutely no standard at all for people that are fellowshipping with us, that are visiting and greeting. If you're greeting, just here as a visitor today, we're glad you're here, and there is absolutely no standard for you. We are glad you're here. Amen? Amen. And forbid ever that we become the kind of people that criticize by which people look or dress or whatever. This church, our church, we want to be like Jesus, amen? And we want our church to be like him. And so, you know, and I think of Jesus, when Jesus was here, he would welcome everybody. Everybody would feel loved around Jesus. And so we want them to feel at home in this place. You know, as I was thinking about imperfect people, I happen to be thinking about myself. And I'm learning what's wrong with the church. You know that? I'm learning what's wrong with it. I've been learning in my Christian walk what's wrong with the church. You guys know what's wrong with the church, right? The more I've lived in the body, in the church, I've found that the real problem is with me. Amen? Some of you don't believe that. It's us. That's what's wrong with the church, because we are the church. The church may not be what you want it to be, but the church will be who we are. If you want the church to be alive, guess what? Be alive. If you want the church to have enthusiasm, then be enthusiastic. This church will be what you are. If you are dead spiritually, guess what? That spirit will be here. By the way, I praise God that we can have hypocrites. They're all allowed in this church. Amen. Yeah, and if it wasn't for that, you know, none of us would be here. See, none of us are as much on the inside as we claim to be on the outside. And too many times we look in people that maybe don't have it together, and we like to criticize, you know, those people. We call them hypocrites. But when we have problems in our own life, we say, well, I'm just kind of growing, you know. I'm growing in Christ. Praise God. God gives us room to grow, right? And so I've been gradually learning. I've been learning in my life and my walk with Jesus Christ that if I have a problem with somebody, it usually means that I have a problem with myself. Did you hear that? If I have a problem with somebody in the church, then that probably means that there's something wrong with me. And it starts with me. I'm learning that. You know, I'm a slow learner. A fellow had a problem. He went to the doctor because his wife, he says, my wife is losing her hearing, and she can't hear very well. And I can't get her to come and take a test or anything. Doctor, what do you want me to do? He says, well, you can kind of just do an informal test. you know, you can just, when you're there in the house, go there tonight, and when she has her back to you, why don't you go into the living room and start calling out something in, you know, normal voice, and get close enough until she hears you. See how she's doing. Great idea, Doc. And so he goes home, and he starts in the living room, and he says in a normal voice, he says, "What's for supper?" No response. So he walks into the dining room closer. He says, "Honey, what's for supper?" Again, no response. He walks to the kitchen door, and he says, "Honey, what's for supper?" No response. And so he's just like, "Wow, I can't believe how deaf this woman is." And he finally walks, and just a few paces behind this woman, he walks up and he says to her, "What's for supper?" And she finally turns around and shrugs and spins around and puts her hand on her hips, and she says, "For the fourth time, potato soup." If you have a problem with somebody else in the body, in the church, it's probably because there's a problem right here. And that's what I'm finding in the church. There's something else the church is not. The church, it's made up of imperfect people. Second, the church is not a hierarchy. It's not a superior class versus second-class citizens. Go to Matthew 23, verse 8 to 11. Matthew 23, 8 to 11. Matthew 23, 8 to 11. The church is not a hierarchy. The church is not a professional movement, a bunch of professionals guiding and leading the church. Matthew 23, 8 to 11. "But you do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. Do not be called teachers, for one is your teacher, the Christ. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant." The church was never meant to be a hierarchy, a bunch of pastors, professionals that are doing all the work and all the ministry. It was never designed. It was made up of volunteers filled with the Spirit, with gifts that God can use to do the work of ministry. The relationship in a church, it's not the pastor here and he's in charge and then everybody else is down here. It's not master and servant. We are brothers and sisters. Professionalism has been the curse of the church from way back. And you look at the early centuries and what happened. The clergy took over the church and the church died, and we call it the Dark Ages. And they took away the Bible and they took away authority. They took away everything, all the decisions, all the ministries. They took it away. And it killed the church. And it's still happening today. God is looking for people filled with the Spirit that says, "Man, I'm going to use my gift." And everyone, think about this church. Think about all the gifts of the Spirit in this church. Think about that. Spiritual gifts of the Spirit of the living God that has a gift for you that wants to use in this church, in this body, to build it up. Man, I get excited when I think about that. Wow. Can you imagine? See, God has everything he needs right here. Everything in this church, everything he needs to build this church, it's right here and it's now. God wants you to use your gifts. Pastors should lead, they should motivate, they should equip, they should shepherd. But to never take away even decisions or ministry from the church. So the church is not a group of perfect people. It's not formed as a hierarchy. What is the church? I want to give you two suggestions. The church is a group of people working together to help others love Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, 25 and 26. 1 Corinthians 12, 25 and 26, the church is a group of people working together to help others love Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, 25 and 26, that there should be no schism or division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Paul is using the body as a symbol of the church. And in the church body, just as the human body, all the body suffers and rejoices together. See, I learned at a young age, if I cut my finger or hurt myself, it affects other portions of my body. Now, I've always been hooked, you've heard this, but motorcycles have kind of been my addiction and my love forever and ever, that I can remember. And it just so happens, I went out to my uncle's place. He had about 8,000 acres in eastern Montana. My grandfather had a lot more, but anyway, I went in there, and everybody liked to ride horses. I didn't care about horses that much. Sorry, sweetie. My girl likes horses. I like motorcycles, and they had a little Honda 90, man, and I just kind of wore the tires off that little Honda 90. One day, my uncle, he's out there, and I didn't know it, and there was a turn. You had to come around and go whipping through kind of by the house and so on, and I was just making this back and forth all day long, and I didn't realize that he shut the gate. And I was new in the bike, and I didn't hardly know how to brake, and guess what? I came flying around. And I saw what was happening. I tried to brake, and I couldn't. And I hit this big fence post, kind of the cornerstone of the corral there. And I hit that thing, and I blacked out. I'm hanging on the fence. I can remember this. I'm hanging on the fence. I remember falling off. That's the last thing I remember. Next thing I know, they're walking me into the house. And, you know, just by all of that, just hitting my head, it affected so much. I mean, I couldn't do anything for a couple hours. I had knocked out. I had a little maybe concussion, whatever. When you affect a portion of the body, it affects everything. And the same thing, God established his church. When somebody is hurting, when they are hurting, the church should be there to surround them and sympathize with them and love them. That's what the church is all about. Don't you love that symbolism of the body? We are a body. Don't you see why we need to be together? Don't you see why small groups and all that is so important to bring us together as a body? So when people are down and out and they're hurting, the church is to be there for them, to help them up, get them back on their feet again, and to love them. And secondly, the church is a place for healing the hurts of life. See, I know that some of you have walked in this church and you're hurting. You put on a good face, but you're hurting. And the churches should be here for you. There's a hospital in the Midwest that on the emergency, as you walk in the emergency room, on the glass, it says, the pain stops here. Isn't that good? So you walk in, the pain stops here. Now, wouldn't that be a good sign to put on our church? Big old sign. People walk in, the pain stops here. That's what the church is supposed to be about. One day in that particular town, a woman that was working in going down into the basement under the house, and this woman falls down the steps. And the weight and everything, she falls right against a block cement wall, and she breaks her arm, and it's so bad that the bones are popping out the skin. She is in excruciating pain. She hears a shriek. I mean, the husband hears this cry of pain and this screaming, and he goes down there, and carefully he gets her up, helps her into the car. They go down to the hospital, and, you know, he's crying because she's crying. She's in so much pain, but they get there, and he's just hoping, oh, man, I hope the sign works. I hope they're good to their word. And they get there, and they medicate her, and sure enough, the pain stopped. They were true to their word. But see, the break was so bad, they had to keep her in the hospital for a few days because it was so serious. But during that time, there was never once that a doctor or a nurse or an orderly, anybody else, came up to her and told her, hey, what's wrong with you? Why'd you fall down the stairs? She knew that falling down the stairs wasn't a good idea before she ever got to the hospital. Amen? And sometimes we think that our duty as Christians is to scold people when they fall down. And so they come to church discouraged. Instead of lifting them up, we tear them down and make them even feel worse. And why in the world would they want to come here? We're all hurting in some way. I don't need to tell you that. By the way, I don't need to tell you the hospitals are expensive. You know, have you noticed that? But isn't it interesting, no matter how expensive the hospital is, if they are hurting, they will keep going back to that hospital. And they'll keep paying that money. Why? Because people will always go back to the place that stops their pain. See, I heard this from a preacher, a new definition of a backslider. A lot of times we think of as a backslider is the person that just kind of out there leaves the church, gets careless, or the one that becomes worldly or something like that. Here's a new definition. A backslider is a person whose pain the church has failed to stop. A backslider is a person whose pain the church has failed to stop. Because people will never stop going any place that stops the pain. I hope today that you recognize that I'm not just talking about the mass of people today. I hope you see this message is for you. It's for me. It's for each one of us. And God wants us, see, as individual parts of this body, He wants us to find ministries that lift people up, not tear them down. And I know there's people like that in our church. But that's what God wants. See, the church is God's idea. It's part of His plan. It's His plan that we learn to love each other and learn to love Christ and love the world. Just let me give you a picture before we close here. I hope it's a picture of our church. An African cattle, they call it, has an instinct when they see a lion roaring or prowling. They don't run. What they do, they get in a circle. You've seen this maybe. They get in a circle and they put their head down and they got their horns pointed out. And guess what they have in the middle of the circle? Who's in the middle of the circle? It's the little ones. It's the old. It's the feeble. It's the weak. It's all of them. They're in the middle. See, it's the very ones that the enemy, the prowler, the lion wants. But they're there, protected. And this cattle, the strong one, will stand in defense of the weak. That's the church. That's what the church is all about. See, my challenge this morning is, if you are not a member of God's church, then become part of His circle. Become part of His plan to reach the world. If you're a bit discouraged and you've been here a long time and you're just about fed up with the whole thing, don't leave. Don't leave the circle, because that's where Jesus is. And I hope the Holy Spirit will lay a burden on you, that you will use your gifts, your abilities, to love people in His body. And in doing that, you'll help other people to love Christ. That's what it's all about. And I've asked a new friend to come up and share a song as we close. Some of you don't know Shayna. She is, their family is just new in our community, and we're glad that she's part of our academy. Isn't that exciting? And, you know, in specific, I wanted her to sing at the end of the sermon because she's willing to use her gifts. Thank you for that. She's so willing to use her gifts for God. Isn't that exciting to young people like that? And that's what it's all about. You know, I just want to say this. I just felt impressed that some of you are hurting today, you know? And I know there's some. I don't know what you're going through. But if you need extra prayer, there's an elder that meets back in the prayer place for a special prayer. I'm always available. Pastor Vern is available. Other the elders are available. Pull them aside if you need prayer, if you need encouragement. We're not here to condemn. We're here to uplift you. Amen. Get through it, okay? Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for that song. It reminds us sometimes that's all we can bring is a broken hallelujah. But at least we come. We come to you, Father. And Lord, thank you for this thing called the church that you established. And Lord, I pray that this body will fulfill your purpose here in Lodi, that we will learn to love one another and learn to love you and learn to love this world. God, our desire is just to know the Jesus of the church. In Jesus' name, amen.